just everywhere we open our eyes, everything that, our church is going through, that our people in here are going through, and the things that we're dealing with, it just all lines up. And that's that. It all falls down, and as silly as it sounds, it all falls down right to the songs that Eric chooses to play in the morning. I don't tell Eric what we're looking at or what direction we're going or anything. Eric is led by the Spirit to pick a song that he feels is fit for the day. And yet again, we have two songs that line up exactly what we've been dealing with this past week, what we're going to deal with today, what we're going to look through in Jonah chapter 2, it's all of chapter 2, is Jonah's prayer when he's in the belly of the fish. And how funny is it that prayer is just everything that we're dealing with and we're looking at, and that's the direction that we're going to go today. So we're going to just scratch the surface of prayer today. There's going to be obviously far more things that you have heard and probably know about prayer that you're able to utilize. And so like I said, it's just going to be kind of scratching the surface and some main points about prayer today. So if you want to, we'll just take a moment of silent prayer to present yourself before the throne of God, to just confess any unconfessed sins or unknown sins you have out there, to just be able to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit this morning so you can hear God speak to you and work in your life. Father, we just thank you again for the opportunity to come together this morning in a free country, in a free building, that we can not be hindered or harped on to come here and worship. There's so many places throughout this world and even in this nation where this is frowned upon, and they're not able to do this freely without being persecuted for you. So we just thank you for allowing us come together this morning with one another, because as this week proved, encouragement from our church body is very important. And it's something that we so often take for granted that we don't really realize is as effective as what it really is. So we just thank you for just providing us with one another to be able to do that with. We come to you with prayers of thankfulness and praise for what you've done in Morgan's life and the ones that were affected because of the struggle and the battle that she faced and she conquered. And there was lives changed. There was people that saw miracles. There was people that saw things that were unexplainable and didn't make sense. And that's you. That is you touching your hand upon that situation and taking control. And all you ask for us to do is just come to you with open arms and open hands and say, I'm ready for you to work with me, God. And you will do miracles. So we just thank you for showing yourself in Morgan's situation. And we just thank you for protecting her and allowing her to be back at home on a recovery that looks speedy. And it should be to no one's surprise that you even sped that process up. So we just thank you. We want to pray for Vi this morning and the Obreiter family, that as they get ready to say goodbye to Dick, that they can just feel your presence and feel your comfort. It's great to be able to see Dick as strong as he is and as faithful as he is and as trusting as he is in you to make the whole situation easier upon Vi and his grandchildren that are spending all the time in the hospital with him. We don't know the outcome of the lives that will be changed from what you've had Dick go through and what you have Vi going through right now, but somebody will be affected and somebody's life will be changed because of them. So we just pray that you can start softening the hearts and opening the eyes and the ears to those who are affected by that situation so they can see your presence in that situation, that they can see your hand on how you're comforting and holding Dick up through all this that he's about to face. He's about to come see you. And a part of us, we look at that as we're kind of jealous, that selfishly we wish that it was our turn to come see you. But that's not the plan that you have for us. You have us here to work out your plan and change people's lives on this earth. And we're all going to miss Dick. We're all going to need to be there for Vi. So we just pray that you can help us to continue to be a church as we've stepped it up, it seems, that we're able to be here for one another and that we can continue to do that for Vi as she's going to be alone and she's going to be just faced with things that aren't normal anymore. So we just pray that you can help us to comfort her and give her help when she needs it. Father, we just pray this morning for this time that, as that song just said, that I'm just a nobody, that I am a nobody, that it's not my words that need to be heard. It's not my words that need to be spoken. It's your words. It's your truth. It's your things that you penned down or had people pen down in this Bible so we know how to live our life and how to change our life and be effective in a life towards other people who don't know who you are. So, Father, I just pray that you fill this building with the Holy Spirit this morning. You just accomplish your will and not mine. That's up here and that's downstairs also. That those little kids downstairs need to know truth, need to have stability, need to know who you are. And we just pray that you just bless this time that we have together, just up here and downstairs. In your son's name we pray, amen. So we finished up an overview of where we've been in Jonah. God told Jonah that he needed to go speak to the Assyrian capital of Nineveh, which Jonah did not want to do because they were enemies of him. So it started a snowball of events of Jonah running away from God. He got on a ship, went out to sea to flee in the total opposite direction of where God desired him to be. And God sent a storm unlike no other to start breaking that boat apart and trying to get Jonah's attention is kind of the basics of what was happening. So as we looked at last week, Jonah confessed to the sailors, was able to witness to the sailors because of his sin. We can always use our sin and our past mistakes for good, and that's what Jonah was able to do. So we ended up with the sailors throwing Jonah overboard because Jonah sacrificed himself in the situation to say, it's my fault that I'm here. It's not because of you that this boat's about to break apart and you're all about to die. It's because of me. Take me and throw me overboard, and God will calm the sea. And we read it, but we didn't really touch on it. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And that's something that you hear a lot of people say that's fake, that's not true, that can't happen, that whatever they want to make an excuse scientifically that can't happen. But as we're going to see, and as we know, that God can do anything he wants to do. It's not up to us to decide if something is a reality or not. So you can't pick and choose what you want in the Bible. That's what it comes down to. You can't take something in the Bible and pick it because it sounds good to your life, but then take something else in the Bible and not believe it. You have to believe it all. It's either all or nothing. You're all in. You can't have a little bit of faith that, oh, maybe I believe that, but I really don't believe that because that's pretty far-fetched. It's all or nothing. So if God says that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, the prayer that we're going to look at, Jonah said from the belly of a fish. So if you want to follow along, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. Into your holy temple, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. So the first point that I want to look at is, do we need a special time or place to pray? Is there certain rules that we must follow? Other than repentance of our sins, there's nothing. There's no rules, or there's no specifications. There's no orders that we must follow to pray. Verse 1, Jonah was praying from the belly of a fish. that proves we don't have to have a special place or some certain ritual to be able to pray. Our access to God is instant. And that goes back to the omniscience of God that we studied when we went through the characteristics of God and who God is. God is everywhere. Omnipresent is God is everywhere. I apologize. Omnipresent can be more than is when God can be in more than one place. He is able to be with all of us at the same time, no matter the circumstance or the order a prayer to God is received. It's not a checklist that comes in a first-come, first-served basis. It's not like a Santa Claus list where he rolls out a list and he sees all this stuff that's there, and my prayer is at the bottom of the list, so he has to work down and he's got to accomplish all this stuff before he gets to mine. That's not how prayer works. Because of God being omnipresent, being to be everywhere, because of him being able to be omniscient, all-knowing, he's able to handle each and every one of our prayers when we talk to him. And that's hard to wrap our mind around, because how can I talk to more than one person at one time and get something accomplished when there's multiple people involved? But God's bigger than that. So, in an emergency type situation, do we have time to gather our thoughts, or let alone try to follow a certain protocol to talk to God? If something happens, do we have time to even gather our thoughts? Or is it all of a sudden you're dealing with whatever the chaos is on hand? You fall back to our muscle memory. We've talked about muscle memory before. What is our first instinct in a situation? It's either fight or flight. Praying equals fighting because it gives us a stable foothold to advance. It allows us to mentally see more about the situation, because we need to see, because we see a need for help from God, therefore we converse it to him. See, if we don't have a need, if we don't see that need, we're not going to be able to converse with him. It allows us to mentally see more about the situation, which then allows us to start processing the issues at hand. We then can make a plan. But if it's instant panic and loss of self-control, that's flight. The fight part allows us to mentally see the situation, but the instant panic and loss of self-control is our flight. We immediately are taken out of reality and unable to process what's happening. So when we're in a chaotic situation, or in panic mode, or when trouble's at hand, we have two options. You can either, mentally, you're either going to panic, and you're going to flight, and you're going to try to run away from that situation and not adapt to really what the reality of that situation is, or your muscle memory is going to tell you to pray, to talk to God, to be mentally prepared for what's at hand. It's one or the other when you're in those situations. So what happens when we know we need to be praying but we don't have the words? Is that classified as flighting and running away from it? The answer is no. We still go to God and acknowledge our need of him for help. And that may be just what we say. God, I need help. I have no clue what it looks like, but I need you now. That's muscle memory. When we're in that situation, it doesn't have to be a prayer that's rehearsed. It doesn't have to be a prayer that's said a certain way. It doesn't have to be a prayer that sounds all professional and all holy. We have, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the authority and the power to be able to come to God firsthand for our relationship. We don't have to have some special scenario to get through him. So if we can burn that into our muscle memory, if we can, and we'll look kind of how that looks on how we get that built into our muscle memory, but when a situation that is chaotic is at hand, if we have that answer built into our muscle memory, that's where we're going to go right away. We're not going to try to do it ourselves and run from the problem. God knows what we need. He knows what our thoughts are before our brains can even put them together. That song in the beginning even said that. And here's something else. We're not alone in this. We all know that. How great is it to have a Savior? We're going to look at the difference of the word of salvation and how sometimes we look at the word salvation. Yes, Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ saved us from an eternity separated from God in the depths of hell. But Jesus Christ is always residing with us, being able to save us in our chaotic, panicked situations. That's part of the deal. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says He never leaves us or forsakes us. Therefore, we get to utilize that through our problems. Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27. The Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8, 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We are completely covered and protected by Christ because of what he did. Then because of what he did, it placed him where it did, at the right hand of God. Jesus has us covered in every situation. Like I said, the salvation, the Savior, isn't necessarily just speaking of eternity. Yes, that is our one and only way to eternity and heaven forever, is accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We all sin. None of us are perfect. God being perfect can have no part of sin. Therefore, Jesus Christ interceded for us. He stepped in and he took the punishment that we should have had from God. And Jesus says, nope, I'm interceding for you. So when God says, you're not good enough, Jesus says, wait, but I paid the penalty for them. Therefore, they can enter into eternity with you. So we have that. But then Jesus also has us covered in every situation, whether it is an emergency or not. So if we find ourselves in a situation that completely baffles us and we're at a loss for words, we're covered. Because what did that just say? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And then in Romans 8, 26, it said that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. So that's when we're not able to get words out of our mouth, because we don't know the emotions and the feelings that we're dealing with. God understands. That's what comes along with salvation. That's an added bonus. Number one, greatest thing about salvation is what? We get to be in heaven forever. But then what is all this stuff that comes along with it that we don't have to do anything for? We get to utilize the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ because it comes along with salvation. So we can utilize them when we're in our problems. It's okay to tell God that we don't understand. It's okay to say we don't know what to do. It's okay to not know what to say, because we have both the Holy Spirit and Christ Himself conveying to God what we need. That's what those verses say. So we don't have to feel inadequate. We don't have to come before Him and say, well, you can't help me. I wish you could help me, but I don't even know how to tell you to help me. We've all been there. I need help, but I don't know what I need help with. I don't even know where to begin. I got such a mess, I can't even think to begin to correct anything. That's not our problem to figure out. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ sitting there interceding for us. So what is our part of prayer? In Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. Verse 7 is, I remembered the Lord. That's all it takes to come back. No matter the depth, when you look at the previous verses, water in verse 5, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. No matter how far away from God you feel, what does it take? Acknowledging our need for God. That is our part in prayer. We have to acknowledge the need of God. No matter the depth, it doesn't matter how deep you are, you can call upon the Lord. We've all been in places where we think there's no return from them places we've been in. Jonah explains it pretty well. When he's at the roots of the mountains, the deepest of the deepest, the lowest of the lows, he says what? I remembered the Lord. And what did God do? He delivered him from that situation. He acknowledged God. That's our step one in prayer. We have to acknowledge our need for God. Because Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So whether we're at our lowest of lows, or we're just up here gossiping and maligning about somebody, sin is sin, no matter where we're at. It doesn't matter. Murder is no different than gossiping about somebody. Telling a lie is no different than committing adultery on somebody. Whatever you want to use for what you think would tip the scale in a sin worse than another, there's no difference. In God's eyes, every sin is sin. It's all the same. We've all done it. We've all fallen short of His glory. It's not just us that's the problem. Or it's not just you that's the problem. It's all of us. That's what that verse means. You can't feel bad about yourself and say, well, it's only me. I'm the only lowlife that's got this problem. I'm the only one that's too far away from God to be able to save me. It's all of us. We all are entangled in sin that puts us at the bottom of our deepest path at some point. But what is the good news? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our, that's yours and mine both, that's all of ours, for our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness sitting right here for us. All we have to do is get away from ourselves and tell God that we need Him. We need to acknowledge our need for God. Our other part of prayer, we call on God to intervene in the situation. We acknowledge our need for God, and then we call on God to intervene in the situation. We just talked medical examples. Look how many medical examples you've heard of or read of or firsthand seen. They're miracles. Look in the Bible, the book of Jonah. David. I think that song talked about David in that song. He came to a sword fight with a rock. It was a miracle. God intervened. Elijah, Elisha. Look how many miracles, because people were faithful and they acknowledged their need for God, that God stepped into the situation and intervened in the situation. God intervened in Morgan's surgery. God intervened. God is intervening in Vio Brighter's life right now. God will intervene in whatever your situation is right now. If we don't acknowledge our need for God, how will we ever expect for Him to intervene? What does prayer show? Jonah chapter 2, verse 6, in the B, I call it the second half of verse 6. But You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Prayer shows the reality of God's power and blessings brought to life. It's proof that God is real. That's what answered prayers are. That's what seeing God intervene is. It's proof that God is real. It's seeing God intervene. When you see what God does, you're witnessing firsthand the power of God. When you say, I can't believe that happened, that should not have happened, I can't believe it went that way, it's not from a coincidence or happenstance. It's because you just saw the hand of God at work. It's power to comfort. It's power to heal and protect. Power to bring us out of whatever seems impossible. How many times have we been comforted and we don't know why? We shouldn't have been. Because we look at that whatever earthly situation we tried to use to comfort us, and it still doesn't work, so we keep going back to it and back to it and back to it, and yet it just won't work. But then all of a sudden, we acknowledge our need for God, and we're good. Why is that? Because that's the power of God at work. It's power to bring us out of what seems impossible. It's blessings that we don't deserve. Have you ever stopped and thought, where do you think things come from? We arrogantly think whatever we have is self-made. Can you really say, God, I have no idea how you're going to provide for me? And then have the control to peacefully, to wait with a peace and a joy and a comfort to wait for it? Can you peacefully wait for God to answer your question when you say, God, I don't know how you're going to provide in this situation? Or are you waiting anxiously and nervously like he tells us not to? Do we have a peace that we can wait for him for an answer? What is the goal of prayer? Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, that which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. The goal of prayer is complete conscious dependence on God. It's our muscle memory. That's the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is to mold us and make us to where we have nothing else to depend on but God. When something happens, good or bad, prayer should be our reaction. If something good happens, is it because of ourselves and how lucky we are? And we just forget about what God did for us? Or if something bad happens, is it poor me? Why did this happen to me? Pity on me? Feel sorry for me? Or do we pray to God and say, God, I need help right now. I don't even know what to say to you, but I know that I need help because this situation is not good. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. If we are not continually seeking and looking, we're never going to develop that muscle memory that we need in chaos. We will panic. Fear will set in. And we're going to typically turn to the world for answers. We need to know who God is and what He's capable of. If we build our foundation on His word and promises, when the water surges in the storm, I, among many others in this room, will be able to tell you that you're going to be in a far greater position. Every one of us has a story that we can look back on when we actually turned over our problems to God and whatever situation we're in, and we turned it over and we handed it to Him. And we trusted Him. And we just said, it's up to you. Here I am. Send me. We've all had these situations. And if you are faced in that situation, if you don't have the muscle memory of knowing who God is, knowing His promises, knowing what He says, knowing what He says to do in that situation, you have nothing to look forward to but a chaotic future. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a train wreck. Prayer is our communication that will strengthen our relationship with God. If you feel your relationship needs attention and is lacking something, what's the first thing that you need to do? You have to talk about it. You can use that with your family, with your spouses. If you feel there's an issue somewhere, do you sit and dwell upon it and worry about it and try to fix it yourself? Or try to stir, because your mind does stupid things. It'll take you in a place that you don't even need to be. Or do you need to go to your spouse and you need to talk about it? So you don't let those little bad thoughts start to take place and take root in your brain and build and build and build. Why do you think there's so much divorce in this world? Why do you think it runs rampant? It's lack of communication. Confess what is holding you back and find a solution to fix your relationship. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I feel like I quote this one all the time. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. God hasn't left your relationship. You have. God ain't the one who leaves. Dad tells the joke, I don't know if it's really a joke or a story, what it is, about a little old pickup driving down the road, and there's an old guy driving, and there's an old lady sitting in the passenger seat, and they meet a pickup on the road, and there's two young people sitting side by side, one driving, the other one sitting about right on top of him. And the old lady says to the old man who was driving, we used to sit well like that. How come we never sit like that anymore? And the old man said, I wasn't the one who moved. He's in the same spot right behind the steering wheel. That's a picture of us with God. It's not our decision to move. Or it's not God's decision to move. It is our decision to move. We are the ones who walk away. God stands there and knocks, continually knocks. That is talking in Revelations when that is talking to believers. That is talking to people who know who Jesus is. Yet they've strayed away. And what does God do? Open the door. Come back. He's continually knocking for you to come back to Him. So, what does God do through prayer? Jonah chapter 2, verse 9b through 10. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. God brings us salvation through prayer. What is salvation? The Webster's 1828 Dictionary, the definition of salvation is the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. So we are to seek salvation not only for our eternity, we are to seek salvation every day we live. Too often the word or definition of salvation is only tied to eternity, which is true. That's what it is. But we need to seek preservation from destruction, danger, and great calamity every day of our life. We need to have God save us from ourselves and other issues that we're faced with every single day. That's salvation. Salvation is a continual thing. Salvation for eternity is not a reoccurring thing. That's a one-and-done type deal. We've studied that. We've looked at that. Once you're saved, you can't go back. You can choose to leave God, just as we said, but God can't leave you. So once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, you're still a child of God in His eyes. Are you going to miss out on some opportunities and some things to glorify Him if you reject Him for the rest of your life? Yes. But will you spend eternity in heaven with Him? Yes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What are our requests? Do we only save our request for emergencies? Building muscle memory is going to require us to take every single request we have to His throne. That is how you will build the muscle memory. To then, when it does become a problem or it is an emergency, we have that to fall back on because we're used to throwing everything at Him anyway. That's what we're designed to do. That's what Jesus Christ came on this earth and did, is to save us from sin which separates us from God. He gives us, He says, I already did it. I think moms use the example at the kids at basic. It's like taking a backpack full of rocks, our burdens, our problems, our sins, whatever it is, and going and laying them down at the foot of the cross. We give them to Jesus. We take them and we dump them all out. And we say, here you go. But then when we're done, we pick all the rocks back up, we throw them in our backpack, and we take back off again. That's what we do. We can't let go of our problems. Why? Do we really trust that God will take care of every single request that we have? Everything that we truly need? John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to have a joyful life. That's His desire for us. Do you not want that for your kids? Do you want your kids to have a joyful, peaceful life? I do. I'm a child from God. Guess what God wants me to have? How can I have that if I don't take everything and give it to Him? When my little girls at home have a problem, what do? They run to either Hallie or I with the problem. Whether it's something as silly as fighting with their sisters, or whether it's something when Ellie fell off the slide. Two different spectrums, but they bring it all. That's the picture we need to do. Doesn't matter how stupid and small we think it is. Take it to Him. What else does God do through prayer? He reveals Himself to us. And we've all seen that. So next is, what hinders prayer? Number one is sin. We already mentioned Romans 3:23, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Well, how do I get to be in the glory of God? Through Jesus Christ. That is the piece that connects the puzzle. If we are living in unconfessed sin or have sins that are not brought before God, our prayers can't do anything. Does that mean that we're done for? No. Because what's 1 John 1:9? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what it is. Sin is sin. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is a problem, but God gives us an answer. He gives us a way out of the problem. What else hinders prayer? Is disobedience to God's word. James chapter 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why? Because we don't believe that we need Him? And we don't believe that Jesus is really part of our life to make it easier? Because if we would believe it, we would listen to and mold our life into everything that this book says. Disobedience to God's word brings deception. What does Satan want for us? To be deceived. He doesn't want us to take this information, these promises, these truths. He doesn't want us to take those and implant them in our souls and make them part of our muscle memory, because then he can win off the chaos and the fear that we live in. Lack of faith hinders prayer. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. God wouldn't do that. I'm not even going to waste my time asking him. He wouldn't do that. How many times have we said that? Do we really have faith when we ask God for something? Well, God's just waiting to cut me down anyway, so I'm not going to ask him to help me be healed from this problem. He wants to see me suffer and live a life of misery anyway. Why would I ask him to help fix me? That's not who he is, number one. Would you let your child suffer and sit there? Or if you had an answer, would you be able to help them? Would you provide them with that answer that they need? God talks about childlike faith. Because faith is a hard thing to wrap your head around sometimes, because we can't physically see or touch. We don't have to overthink it. Does a child overthink anything? Or do they just react? They just do. That is what God wants us to do with him, is just react. Just do it. Don't think about it. Pray to him and try to remember what you said to him when you're done. It should be that fast of an action that you might not even know what you said to him, but you just know you got done praying. It should happen that quick. It should be that big of a part of your body, your instant reactions. Asking with the wrong motives hinders prayer. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly and you want to spend it on your passions. How many times are we guilty of that? Well, I have an ulterior motive, so I'm going to ask God this. Remember, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows what we're thinking about anyway. So we're going to end with this. What really is prayer? It's claiming the promises of God and relying on his mercy, his grace, his provisions, and his protection. It doesn't matter where you are, if you're in the belly of a fish like Jonah. It doesn't matter how low you seem to be, at the depths of the ocean, amongst the roots of the mountains. All that takes back is what? What did verse 7 say? While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. Communication. God designed prayer for us to be able to rely on him. And you won't be able to rely on him unless you communicate with him, because you have no way to know how he's going to comfort you, how he's going to protect you, how he's going to provide for you, if we don't know what to look for. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be able to come before you. That's something in my head that I still can't fathom. That the creator of the universe, the one who knows everything, the one that always has been and always will be, gives me direct access. It blows my mind that we can come before you and have a relationship with you. That we can talk to you on our own, that we can be personal with you. We just thank you for that. Father, we just pray as we go out this week and we're faced with our challenges and our situations, no matter how big or small they are, that we turn to you, that we look at you and we start to build our muscle memory. We take your word, we start reading every day, and we start putting it in our souls. So when we have a situation, it's what we file right to. We don't have to flip through a bunch of junk and garbage to be able to get to what you say. We already have it in the front file that we can pull out and be able to be defended in the situation that we're in. Father, I just pray that if there's anything I said that was unclear or mumbled or jumbled, that Holy Spirit, you can just take it and make it make sense and just use it for all of us this week as we go out into our day. In your son's name we pray. Amen.